If you missed the announcements, kids are dismissed and they do get to go to their classroom. But good morning. This morning has been such a good morning. I am really excited to share the word that the Lord has placed on my heart. And I know that the joy, because I've seen it, the joy of the Lord reigns in this house this morning. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I hope that you guys settle in and have some fun. Today is going to be somewhat like a youth group, okay? Are you guys ready? I'll be the youth pastor. You guys can be the students just for today because it's all about the kids. If we haven't met yet, my name is Madison, and I'm the middle school youth pastor here, and I have the honor of being a part of the 11 to 13-year-olds' lives here, and I love it so much. It is such an honor. I would call myself a super fan of teenagers. Maybe you might be a super fan of the Canucks, but I'm a super fan of the teenagers. I love them. Yes, they can be crazy. They might have their moments, but I think they bring so much to the table. They care so much about one another, and they also crave and desire to know so much about Jesus. They have such willing hearts, and they want to be a part of every area of the church. And it really, really speaks to me, which is why I'm a super fan of teenagers. So this morning, as I share with you, I hope that you get a mini glimpse of what it's like to be in a youth group, and that you will feel, or you will leave feeling youthful, but then also seeing how the younger generation sees Jesus and the Father's love. So it's a special Sunday that we have on our hands. We wanted to make it all about the children of God and how every generation is held in the Creator's palm. So my prayer for you this morning is that you will be reminded that you are adopted into the family of God and that you are His child, that you belong to Him, and that you can run straight into the Father's arms, lock eyes with Him, because He wants to bless you. He wants to pour His love upon you. He wants to protect you. He wants to sit with you, and He wants to keep you ever so close. So if you don't mind opening up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16, that is where we're going to find our scripture this morning. Or Peter, if you don't have your Bible, Pastor Peter likes to use the phrase, the Sky Bible. So it'll be right up above the screen that you guys can check it out there. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16 says, "One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so He could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Him. When Jesus saw what was happening, He was angry with His disciples and said to them, 'Let the little children come to Me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it.' Then He took the children into His arms and placed His hands on their head and blessed them." Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit is here in this building. We thank You, Jesus, that You want to speak to us. Like we have been praying, would You open up our hearts? Would You open up our ears? Would You open up our minds to hear what Your truth is this morning? Jesus, we have come to celebrate and worship and glorify You. So allow these words that come out of my mouth to come with authority, power, and clarity, Jesus. Bring me peace in this moment. And allow us to hear what Your word has to say. We love You so much, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Awesome. Perfect. So, let me just find my notes here. 1 second. Okay. Have you ever had that feeling on Christmas morning, or say you're going on a field trip? Take yourself back to when you were like, say, 6 years old. You were going on a field trip, or your family was like, oh my goodness, we're going to Disneyland. And you know that feeling that you're just like, oh, I actually have a picture that describes that. It's a little character that from, oh, look at her. She's so cute. She's just like so excited. She's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to Disneyland. It's just that feeling of wonder. And when you're a kid, you have so much excitement and you're just like so present in that moment. And you're like, oh, whether it's the presence in front of you or maybe it's the news that you heard. And that is maybe what your face might look like. I think for myself, where my childlike character comes out the most is when I get the opportunity, any opportunity, to go to an amusement park. I love rides, fairs, roller coasters, you name it. I love them so much. I would drop anything to be able to go onto a roller coaster. And so just this past August, me and a few friends went to a fair, and I was like, okay, guys, I've been waiting weeks for this. Like, I'm going to get some tickets, the rip-off price, you know, for the tickets at the fair. But I'm going to get some tickets. We're at least going to go on one ride each. And so I was like, we're going to do this. They come with me. They join me. We have so much fun. And I have enough tickets for my most favorite ride, the Zipper. So this ride is, you sit in a cage and you spin around, but then it's almost like a Ferris wheel. So it's like the intermediate version of a Ferris wheel. So I was had enough tickets left to go onto the Zipper, and I was so excited, so ready, and I still don't know to this day if my friends didn't want to join me because they were too cool or because they were thinking they were going to throw up. I don't know which one it was, but they were like, Madison, we're not going to go with you. So I was like, fine, I've waited all week for this. I'm so excited. I'm going to stand in line regardless. So I took myself as an adult, stood in line all alone for about a half an hour just to go onto this ride. Now, just to finish the story, I'm standing in line for about a half an hour. I get to the front, and the man I'm passing the tickets to steps to the side, and I don't know how I didn't see this sign, but in three big, bold words, it says, no single riders. And I was so heartbroken. I was like, what? I wanted to go on this ride so badly. I was so excited, but it's all okay. Still a little bit heartbroken to this day, but it's all okay. We're good. So let me ask you, have you ever had that moment where you were so excited, you were carefree, and you just ran to the prize ahead? I've seen it here in this church with our kids ministry, where they've collected all of their bonus bucks because they've known their memory verses, they've gotten their Bibles, they've brought a friend to church, and on our special Prize Palace Sundays, they run straight to the Prize Palace to get first in line. Or I've seen it in the middle schoolers, where after the service, some kids have collected all their money and saved up $20 for a Thursday night to go to the candy bar and buy candy that's like more than they can hold and then walk to their parents' car. And I'm like, oh my goodness, their parents are not going to want them to come back to youth. Or I've seen it here on Sunday mornings with our kids, and they've just danced with so much freedom and they have so much joy in their hearts. I see their childlike character radiating through them. And so this morning, we're going to be going through this text in three different perspectives. I'm going to start with the eyes of children and how they see their father. So my first point for you this morning is the wonder of children. The word tells us that in this verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 15, says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. I would now consider myself an adult. I pay my own rent, groceries, you know, the phone bill, everything. Being 25 is pretty hard. I'm just kidding. I'm learning one day at a time. But I've begun to understand the weight of what it comes with being mature and being a mature adult. But Jesus calls the mature ones and says, do not worry. To have the perspective and the vulnerability of a trustworthy heart of a young child. For we learn that through the children, they have a message of hope, salvation, and they just see the simple gospel. The purity of these children's hearts is the example that we need to continually renew our minds like them. Asking God to have His way, asking Him to transform us, asking Him and allowing with open hands to have our plans be His plans, releasing all of control and giving them to Him for His purpose. Now, children rely on their parents, and I don't think I've ever seen a three-year-old slave over the kitchen stove making themselves dinner because they know that their mother and their father will provide meals for them and that they will provide for them in every way. Not only do they trust their parents, but they also trust their Heavenly Father wholeheartedly, knowing that God is going to take care of them. They know and believe that they belong to a good Father. Just like you and I, we belong to a good Father through Christ. We belong to Him. He is our home. He is our safe refuge. He is our peace. I have seen this take place in one of my youth students here on Thursday nights at Vantage Junior. Her name is Zaylee, and I asked her if it was okay to share this story. But there's two pieces of this testimony that I wanted to share with you, and I hope it encourages you. So Zaylee came to church 3 years ago. She's now in grade 8. She came when she was in grade 6. And she came, and she was invited by two friends, Ellie and Emilia. They invited her, and she was like, okay, I'm going to come to youth group. I don't necessarily know what it's about, but I'll come. She comes, and she saw a familiar face, actually from Saskatchewan, who used to be a part of her old youth group. So she comes, sees a familiar face, comes week after week after week, and she finds belonging. Through this time, from grade 6 to grade 8, I have seen her character change so much. She has been transformed by Jesus. She continues to ask the big questions. She continues to want to serve and be a part of something so much greater than herself. And so I've seen this in Zaylee. And Zaylee and I were driving the other day. So that's one part of the testimony of just seeing her childlike character grow as she has found belonging. But the second part of this testimony not only comes from Zaylee, but the other people in her life have seen a transformation. So we were driving in my car, and Zaylee was like, Madison, I wanted to tell you something that made me cry, like happy tears. And I was like, what? And she said, I came home from youth the other night, and my youngest sister said, Zaylee, I want to come to church with you so much because every time you come home from church, you're so happy. And I was like, this spoke so deeply to my heart. Like, it was just a simple comment that Zaylee shared, but it spoke so much because this young girl wanted to experience this joy. She wanted to be transformed like her sister. She wanted to experience this Jesus. She wanted to be transformed by God. Jesus calls his children, you and I, who are adopted through Christ, to come and experience this joy he desires us to have. The hearts of these children are pure, bold, and brave. They didn't have any fear of man, but they just chose to lock eyes with their Savior and run straight to him. As we mature and age, there's moments of fear that might begin to set in. I know they have for me, and I wonder if they've set in for you. Questions or what-if statements that maybe have come. What if, or that fear that you've been like maybe placed on your heart as we mature. Questions of what if I pray for them in public? What are they going to think of me? Questions of what if I tell them that I don't smoke, that I don't drink, that I don't sleep around? Will they still want to be in my friend group? What if I tell them that I'm choosing to live a life for Christ, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to make it a priority, and I'm going to seek him. I'm going to make it a priority to spend time in the secret place with him. Well, the truth is the world is going to think you're crazy because they don't like Jesus. In John 15, 18, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first. But they will see a difference. They will see a difference in how you love. They will see the difference of the peace that you carry is unexplainable when situations come. They will see the joy that you have in moments of life where the world would think, how do you have joy? They are going to see the difference that you have. We see the children abiding in him, wanting to cling close to him. In our storybook that Pastor Nick read, it phrased this as, our children see the love of Jesus. They knew they didn't need to do anything special for Jesus, but just to love him. All they needed was to do is run into his arms, and that's just what they did. Jesus validates this unique perspective of these little ones who currently perceive the true nature of the kingdom. Childlikeness is not only a prerequisite to enter into the kingdom of God, but it is a continual, necessary, lifetime characteristic that Jesus describes to his disciples. I'm going to say that again. Childlikeness is not only a prerequisite to enter into the kingdom of God, but to continually is necessary as a lifetime characteristic that Jesus explains to his disciples. Which leads me to my second point, the perspective of the disciples. Mark 10, 13 to 14. I'm going to say this passage over and over so we get it in your head. Mark 10, 13 to 14 says, "One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children.'" Jesus's disciples believed that Jesus was too good to hang around or be swarmed with kids, that he was too holy or he had bigger and better things to do. Jesus changes the prevailing perspective of society and illustrates that humility is necessary for the entrance of the kingdom of God. Humility is necessary for the entrance of the kingdom of God. Here we see the disciples in need of a desperate reminder to be humble and to depend on him. The storybook also explained it well, and I'm going to just read this part. It says, "But they have forgotten something, God has been teaching them, teaching his people all through the years, that no matter how clever you are, no matter how good you are, how rich you are, how nice you are, how important you are, none of this makes a difference, because God's love is a gift, and anyone will tell you the whole thing about this gift is free. All you have to do is reach your hands and take it." Now, the disciples actually didn't know what was coming. The same Jesus that welcomes the children was also the same God who lowered himself even lower, dying on a cross to become the sacrifice. While welcoming children was an example of humility, also was the power of the cross. The disciples didn't understand that Jesus could be holy while also coming closer to the lesser and the broken, and holiness and love weren't mutually exclusive. Through his blood being shed, we see the greatest death become the most powerful victory. The disciples in the storybook thought they had to do something to make themselves seem special to Jesus, that they were the most clever, that they had to be the nicest or something more so that Jesus would like them best. But the disciples had to lay down the pride and be corrected by Jesus. They thought they could do it all on their own and have control. Jesus redirects them by, as they made a moment that was a simple mistake, he redirects them as they were young students learning. Jesus' grace was so present in this text. He begins to show them the importance of being involved in the lives of young children has such great value. Because again and again, the pattern of the disciples was to make themselves seem like the most important ones. The disciples needed to learn not only to minister to the littles, but also adopt the likeness of the littlest. One of my favorite illustrations that Jesus teaches his disciples is that he is the vine and we are the branches. We need to cling to him and hold tight to him, and children do this well as we see them cling tight to their parents. We see Jesus is pruning his disciples and teaching them the way to enter into the kingdom is like children. It might not be what it looks like, but we need to be humbly and allow Jesus to take control, trust, and abide in him. Now, going back to my testimony with the youth student, if Ellie or Emily hadn't extended that invite to Zaylee, we don't know what could have happened, but to this day, we do know what happened. Because of them extending that invite, Zaylee has now brought in her older sister to church, her older sister's friends, her older sister's boyfriend, and they have come to church. They have gotten to experience his presence and his joy, which is so beautiful. If the disciples had it their way and stopped the ripple effect that it had on those generations, we will never know the impact that it would have on those children's lives or the generations to come. I personally don't want to stand in the way of the lives of teens or in children. I want to be the one to welcome them with open arms into his presence. And we see Jesus do this so well. leading me to my last point, that Jesus says, come. Jesus is a gentle father, kind father, loving father, open father, and wants to protect his children, calling us to abide, calling us to trust, calling us into his presence. Our attitude should value the children just as Jesus does. I have seen this value take place in our own church, which is why I love being a part of a multi-generational church. The beauty of Jesus is that he is aware that his children aren't perfect. We have stuff. We have short, well, you can fill in the blanks. I won't speak for all of us, but we might be short-tempered. We might be stubborn, thankless, or selfish. You can fill in the blank for yourself. We have a mess of things, which is why he says to look to him and come to him. The little ones were sometimes pushed away because of their weakness, but God uses our weaknesses for his glory. Jesus goes against the grain again and again and identifies himself with the powerless, with the ones with no right, with the ones who are insignificant. When we become like children, we are more open to receiving the prevailing of the kingdom of God. This is the moment where we can look into our own lives. Are we clinging to the vine? Are we willing to come? Are we allowing space in our own hearts to be like these children? Are we making space for these children that don't know his voice, that don't know his name, to come and receive a touch from God? He is inviting us, men and women, to come and sit with him and receive a touch from him, inviting us into his arms to be known and to be transformed by his grace. In John 1:12, it says, "But all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become the children of God." The Father's love upon you is endless, and he sent his Son for you. I know that he has come for so much more, but he also comes to sit. He comes to touch, and he comes to bless you. He loves doing this. I feel like he wants to do this with you today. As his children, we need to be reminded of the blessings sometimes, just as parents need to remind their children of things. Blessings such as, he promises to give you strength. He promises to bring you peace that surpasses all understanding. He will make a way when you feel like there is no way. He promises to fight for you. He promises to work all things out for his good and for your good. He promises that when you are in deep waters of worry, anxiety, depression, that he will be with you and his favor is upon you. So will you join me, church, in looking to the Lamb, the one who shed his blood for you, the one whose eyes are burning on fire because of the love that he has for you? Will you come to him and confess your sins, believe in your hearts that he is Lord so he can transform us by his Son and through his endless grace, grace that abounds when our character of our childlike faith has faded, transforming us into that child full of wonder, into that child that wants to share the good news no matter who is watching. Who is that child that declares Jesus is Lord? Who is that child that has the vision and the faith that knows that God can heal the sick, that God can move mountains, and have faith that is just so excited to be able to say, I serve that God. He's my Father, the one that can move mountains. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're going to declare some of these songs over our lives. But before we start singing, there is one group that I didn't mention that was noticed in this text. Did anyone know what it is? I'm just kidding. The passage says in Mark 10:13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Parents, grandparents, I want you to know that you are doing a good job. Bringing your children to know Jesus, praying for your children when they might be away in university, praying for your children as they lay their head to go to sleep, praying for your children as they wake up to go to school in the morning, praying for your children as you make them lunches, praying for your children when they're not with you, whether you're reading the Bible to them or you're bringing them to a church that is surrounded by people that love the Lord. I know that your heart is for them to know the love of Jesus. That is your prayer. That is my prayer. That is our prayer. That is the prayer that heaven is interceding for. So parents, please be reminded today, and I hope you're encouraged, that through you and the generations before you, you carry wisdom. You carry a blessing through the love of Jesus. And I just want to thank you for pouring out so much that you do. There might be moments where you don't feel seen, but I want you to know this morning that you are seen by Jesus. He cares so much, and he is proud that you are bringing your children, or that you are praying for your children over and over and over, so that they may know this deep love of Jesus. Psalms 145:4 says, "Let each generation tell the children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." And I know that your generation is doing the same, praying for your children so that they may know his power, so that they may proclaim his power. So, church, can we be a people, a church, a community, a family like these children that come and sit in the presence of God, in his stillness, in his goodness, in his joy, in his peace? I want to invite you this morning, because I know that God wants to do a work in our hearts this morning, but he wants to touch you. He wants you to know him, to experience him, to trust him, to accept him as your father. And if you're a child this morning in need of some hope, I don't know what valley, trial, pain, feeling of being alone that you're in this morning. If you're empty, he wants to come and fill you. So behold the one, the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, beaten, bruised, pierced, and hung on a cross for you. He shed his blood, and he is the answer to your pain. Will you behold, and will you come? Come to the altar and see that him with pure hearts, hearts unafraid, hearts that will know that we can move mountains through his power, that he will move the mountains through his power. May our ears and hearts be open. We want to see Jesus. So right now, I'm just going to ask you all to stand. We're going to sing, if you can. We're going to sing. And if you feel it on your heart to come this morning to the altar is open for you to come and receive a touch from God, because that is the Father who wants to touch and bless you this morning. I'm going to pray for us, but I'm also going to extend the invite for if anyone wants to receive God as their Father this morning. If everyone could close their eyes, and if you want to receive Jesus this morning as your Heavenly Father, the one that loves you, the one that cares for you, the one that wants you to come and sit with him. He knows everything that goes on in your life. And if you would like to confess that he is Lord this morning, would you just put up your hand and say, "I want to choose Jesus. I want to choose the way of him. I want to live for Jesus." If that's you this morning, would you repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, I thank you. I come before you now knowing I have sinned. I believe that you have died on the cross for me and rose again so that I could be saved. Wash me clean. Forgive me of all of my sin. Open the eyes of my heart to you. Come into my heart. I receive you as King of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and giving me the free gift of eternal life. Let my life be an example of you. Thank you, my Savior. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to worship. But Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come and listen to what your word says and the truth that you have for us. We love you so much, God, and we're so grateful for the work that you are doing in our hearts this morning. Jesus, we want to run into your arms knowing that you love us and you care for us, Jesus. We thank you that you do love us and care for us. That you want to sit with us in all moments, the moments that we feel broken, the moments that we feel less. Jesus, I thank you that you want to come and you want to sit with us as your children. Lord, we repent for moments where we have placed things in your way, where we have not seen you in the ways that the children do. Lord, we want to be with you. We want to have the hearts that are so on fire and have the faith that moves mountains that children do. Lord, we are thankful to know you and to be known by you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come to the rescue and that you are the one that we can be with. We know that your promise is that you are always with us. We repent for the things that we have put above you and for taking control as your disciples. We want to sit with you. With you. Allow us to run to you and lock eyes with you, being reminded that you are our provider, our healer, the keeper of your promises. Jesus, I just pray that you renew our minds when we come to you now. Jesus, remove all fear of man so that we might be children that go and share your good news, that we might be children that have faith, that will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus, remove the blindness from our eyes so that we might run radically towards you. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We just ask, Lord, that you restore that wonder in our eyes of who you are as a Father and how you love us so deeply. Jesus, we're so grateful to be your children through Christ. Better than your love. Teach us to love others the way that you love us. We want to know your voice. We want to love your children. May this rest on our hearts today, tomorrow, and as we continue to live for you, Lord. We love you so much, and we pray all of these things in your mighty, powerful, and precious name. Everyone said, amen.